Best Leaves Leash will be out in January 17 in the U.S. Can you please give us a little bit of a brief intro into this album and, you know, the main concept surrounding it?
Well, as always, the concept surrounding the Devil's Blood and all the material that we release is always death, chaos, and Satan. These are the three principles around which I have built up all lyrics, all music, all, and even all artwork is considered to be a part of that, even though that was not made by us at the moment, but still the same influences and principles surround it. We have spent about 2 months in the studio recording it last year in April. Of course, the release in Europe was 11th of November. And now we're you know, very excited to have it out in America soon and be able to do some touring and stuff on your side of the oceans.
And what symbolism did you guys chose to release it on 11-11-11 in Europe, for example?
Well, this is a very important number for us. 11 is a number that signifies chaos, and it signifies renewal, change, opportunity. At the same time, it also signifies death, despair, disillusionment, and all these contradicting and extreme emotions, and it has a very important aura, and we thought that surrounding ourselves with this number and with its magic as much as we can would strengthen our approach, and I think this is turning out to be a good thing. As you know, there are 11 songs on the record, as the previous record also 11 songs. We try to place as many of these accursed numbers anywhere we have the opportunity.
And does the January 17 have any particular meaning, or is just Metal Blade's release date?
That was Metal Blade's choice. Yeah, we didn't. In Europe we were on a very small independent label, and we are the priority band over there, so we can basically tell them exactly when to release it and why. Of course, our situation in America and with Metal Blade is not of that stature yet, and they made that decision themselves, but it's fine with us. I mean, for us, the real birth of the record was 11th of November anyway, as a lot of people in America have already, you know, bought the record through our other record labels. So for us, it's nearly a purely pro forma thing.
And, you know, in terms of this, you're talking about the Van Records. Do you feel that the band is kind of outgrowing the label now, or you guys are want to stick with them in the future?
Well, I mean, people told us that we'd outgrown them after we released our first EP, and just looking at the insane amount of work that they've done for us and the complete dedication that we can always expect from them in every field that we can think of, I see absolutely no reason to change teams, and you know, in fact, I'd wish that the old record labels were a little bit more like them.
And you know, in terms of this deal with Metal Blade, how did it happen, and how pleased are you guys?
Well,
yes,
Metal Blade contacted our record label to for a cooperation, and our record label signed a how do you call it, a license deal with them. And of course, for us, it's a great thing, as we now have a very good distribution network and a very good promotion network in America, which allows us to, you know, maybe get better tours, get more tour support when we go to your place, and that allows us to do, you know, give us a wider reach, and of course to have it on a label like Metal Blade, which is of course a very traditional heavy metal label, which have done, you know, quite some legendary products in the past. I think we're in pretty good company there.
And are the special editions going to be released also through Metal Blade, or is this just a single, you know, jewel case format?
To be totally honest, I am not sure. I hope so. I know not all record labels have the same views on the way things should look as, for example, our European record label Varen has. But in the case of Metal Blade, I'm pretty sure there will be some kind of special offering. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure about it at the moment.
Okay. I'm sorry. Man, talking a little bit more about special edition, we actually purchased that from your European label, and they have a lot of illustrations about the, you know, and with song lyrics and stuff. Can you tell us a little bit more about the inspirations behind these illustrations? Did you make them yourself, or how did they happen?
No. I did not make any of the illustrations myself. What happened was that a certain artist from Russia contacted me a few years ago with the desire to do something for the Devil's Blood, as himself being a studier of the occult and a great psychedelic artist. I thought it might be an interesting combination. What happened was, when the time came when we were working on the Thousand Fold Epicenter, I simply sent him the lyrics and the music. And what you see is what he made, and I never told him anything about how it should look, what kind of colors he should use, or if he should, you know, do whatever. And he basically took everything that you see from the music and from the lyrics. So it's a rather spectacular result, if I say so myself.
Were you concerned at any point that it might be, you know, representing something completely different as you envision it, or is it pretty much dead on?
Well, you know, there are three things that can happen in a situation like this, and the first thing is that somebody completely misses the point, which is a bummer. But that wasn't what I was afraid of at all, not with this guy, because, you know, he's been speaking with someone for a while, and, you know, you start to get a feel for the way they think and who they are. The second option is, of course, that that they get it exactly right, and that they take out everything that you put in there, or at least everything that you thought you put in there. And that's okay, that's great. But in this case, we had the third option, which is that he actually showed me things that I had no idea were inside, and which did make perfect sense, and which enriched my own musical experience while playing and listening to this material. So the only thing that was worrying is the same thing that's worrying with just about every artist in this world, and that's deadlines, time and money. And you know, apart from that, I'm just extremely proud to have someone as talented working with us in this way.
You know, you mentioned the hidden meaning and the meaning behind the lyrics, and there's a lot of symbolism and the artwork, the logos, everything. But what would you say, you know, some reading recommendations for people that want to, you know, try to understand and maybe decipher more of the band's mystical and occult content?
Well, you know, apart from becoming an actual studier of the occult and becoming making that thing a part of your life, I think the best way to experience the Devil's Blood is just by simply shutting down all your judgmental sides and the urges to define and categorize, and just simply experience and dive in it and be willing to drown in it. I guess the open mind in this case shall have the ultimate victory.
And, you know, in terms of what the evolution of the band between albums, how do you feel that you guys have been progressing through making music in the last few releases?
Well, we've become better musicians, for sure. I mean, there's, of course, also a lineup change on this record, so we have a new drummer and another guitar player. But apart from that, I think as a writer, I've become more better able to, you know, to get the best out of the material. As a band, we've all progressed mightily on our instruments and also with the playing together part. You know, it's I would say it's a fairly logical and natural evolution that most bands should go to in these phases. We're just trying to be the best that we can whenever we record, and sometimes that, you know, that shows some kind of progress.
And you know, taking 11 months to compose the songs, were there a lot of changes since you first started with the songs, or did you just keep tweaking little parts?
Well, it really depends on the song. I mean, there were a few songs on the record that actually really wrote themselves in like 5 to 10 minutes, and which was from that point on just a matter of recording and rehearsing. But there were also some bastards who refused to step in line, so to speak, and they took a little bit more time. So let's say that some of the songs took about like a few days to get perfect, and another a few others took maybe like a few months. So you know, all in all, on average, it was actually a fairly easy creation process.
And do you think that you, in this sense, are you getting better with time, or you think that the more albums you make, the more picky you might become, and the more critical you are about the music you write?
No, I don't. I don't know. Speaking for myself, purely personally, I think that I always have been as critical as I am now. I've never released a single note of music that I did not feel 100% comfortable with. You know, and I think as long as I keep that, you know, if that mentality, I will never have to be afraid of, you know, repeating myself or releasing a substandard record or anything like that. You know, it always has to make sense. Everything has to be perfect. Otherwise, it makes no sense to do it.
And what about, you know, there's longer tracks in this album, there's also the extra orchestrations here and there. How did all those things took part with your basic traditional music sound?
Well, when you've finished writing a song and you've done the demo and you're rehearsing the song, sometimes you miss certain textures or you miss certain certain atmospheres, something that, you know, since I am a guitar player, I can't give to the guitar, so I cannot do it myself. In which case, oftentimes you try to achieve this atmosphere or this texture with the vocals, the bass guitar, maybe with the keyboards, with drums, whatever. And in this case, it turned out that some of those were, you know, especially the keyboard synthesizer parts, were becoming a little bit more elaborate than I had originally intended. So we got in contact with an arranger, a classical arranger, and we worked together on my material so that it made a little bit more sense in a orchestral in the orchestral sense of the word. And well, basically, what happened was that certain guitar parts ended up being violin parts, and certain bass guitar parts ended up being contrabass parts or whatever.
And so you're pretty open when it comes to somebody else providing input in the songs you write, or is only particular?
Not at all. Not at all. It's absolutely not done. the songs are written by me, and if I choose to have anyone else add something to it, then it's a very, you know, very deliberate choice. For example, on this last record, we had one piece of guitar music, which was written for us by a friend of ours, Rob, from the band Centurion, or from Nox, two quite insane death metal bands from Holland. And we've had one song, the lyrics for one song written by Tommy Erickson of Saturnalia Temple, which is also, you know, both people who I know create their art for the right reasons and who I wanted to be present in a certain way on this record.
And, you know, in terms of this, are you 100% satisfied, you know, creatively with this musical outlet, or you are interested in, you know, pursuing collaborations with other people, maybe something a little bit different than the Devil's Blood?
Well, you know, at this point in my life, the Devil's Blood takes up so much of my time that I hardly would even know how to go about doing anything else. Having said that, there are of course a lot of people that I have met in the last few years that we are making plans with to do various ideas, you know, and some of it will never see the light of day, and others will probably see some sort of relief in the future. But you know, at this point in my life, the Devil's Blood is my one and only priority.
Okay, and in terms of, you know, touring, you guys have done some dates in Europe. You have scheduled a Maryland Death Fest for later this year in the U.S. Are there any other plans for a mini tour or something around the U.S., or is that an exclusive date?
We're gonna do a tour in April, but I am not, at this point, not allowed to give any more information than that, because the tour itself hasn't been announced yet. But I know it's confirmed.
Okay, and you know, in terms of this release, how pleased are you guys? Are you guys with the feedback from the international press, or you guys don't really pay attention to that?
Well, I never used to pay a lot of attention to it. I've been reading a little bit more than I did in the past, and so far everything I've seen was very, very positive. So, you know, it wouldn't change my mind about what I had made if the press was bad. But you know, from another perspective, it's satisfying to see that so many people, for various different reasons, understand what we're doing, or at least appreciate what we're doing. And you know, it gives us many new opportunities, and it gives us more people coming through the concerts, and you know, it helps us along. It's a good thing.
Now, you know, in terms of the concerts, I mean, you guys are known for, I mean, you have, you know, the outdoor kind of set up, but not too many flashy stuff. Is there a particular reason why you guys want to keep it, you know, simple, a little bit more traditional versus, you know, trying to go a little bit overboard, or not overboard, but what, representing more of the imagery of the band?
Well, I really don't see a point to it, you know. It should be about what we're saying and not about who is saying it. And for me, it's all the attention that's being focused on me as a person, or whoever else in the band as a person, is just energy misspent.
In terms of the band's sound, I mean, how much technology and how much, you know, part of studio fixing and trickery do you allow in your music?
Well, on one side, nothing at all. On the other side, a lot. It's two different. It's really when we record the music itself, we try to be as live as possible. You know, we want to really be honest about what we're playing, and not all mistakes are being edited as a lot of bands do these days, and nothing is being you know, quantized or being put to a click track or anything like that. We try to be as live as we can. But from the other side, when we are going to add like the layers of psychedelic sounds and of our extra guitar parts, vocal parts, choirs, then we can do everything that we want. Anything that to us sounds good, that makes it more, you know, if the sculpture in the real world becomes more and more like the sculpture in my mind, then I am convinced that we're on the right way. And when I have achieved this, or when I know that I cannot get any closer to it, that's when I'm done.
And how much do you guys try to bring to the actual live performances? Do you guys use sampling tracks or anything like that?
To this point, we did perform a few times with the choir. A small choir with three extra girls singing close harmony with our singer. But apart from that, everything is done with just three guitars, the bass guitars, and the drums, like a real traditional hard rock and roll band.
And, you know, with this big lineup, is that one of the problems about touring extensively, or do you think this is not a deterrent?
Well, it is a problem, but it's not a problem that's unsolvable. You know, it's just a matter of good planning and having good management working for you and trying to get, trying to make everything, do everything as economically as possible, basically.
And, you know, in terms, again, to the whole mystical and occult side of the band, what are your thoughts on all this, you know, the kiddie black metal bands that are popping out, claiming all this stuff and trying to find some askew references to try to, you know, enshroud themselves in all this mystery when they're, like, really not even close to knowing what they're talking about?
Well, you know, far be it for me to tell anyone what to do, and I would never... to be honest, it's not something that I ever actively think about. You know, for me, everyone should be doing whatever the hell it is they want to do. But I work from the knowledge that if you present yourself in a way that is not true to your soul, then you are the one who is being damaged. Curses spoken without the proper intent have the tendency to backfire, and the material is serious enough not to wantonly play around with. And if you don't know what it is you're doing, then the smartest thing to do is not do anything at all, I guess. But you know, again, people should do what they want, and as long as it's not a problem for me, then I really don't care.
Okay, and you know, in terms of the future direction of the band, I mean, you're starting to get noticed more and more. Hopefully with Metal Blade North America, you guys are going to get a lot of response from over here. What path do you want to take with the band? What are you guys' ultimate goal of doing with the band?
We don't have one. We do have one, but that's one we keep for ourselves. You know, as a matter of goals and plans, we try to make as little as we can. You know, we want to be spontaneous about this. We want to enjoy the ride. We want to do whatever we can if it makes sense and if we feel that we are getting something out of it. And if that means releasing another record in a few years' time, or if it means doing more touring, then you know, then we'll do it. But the most important part is that we can do what we want according to our own personal beliefs and our own personal standards.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the interview. Is there anything else you think that you might want to add to the people in North America that are going to be listening to this?
I want to thank them for their attention, and I hope that something inside them is stirred enough to actually pick up our record at the 17th of January out on Metal Blades and come to see us when we make it across the pond.